Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Al's going to the mountains. I'm going to a Kentucky Derby party. Emily, what's your plan for the weekend?
My roommate moves in tomorrow.
Oh, you've been... So. Your hot water turned on.
That's today.
Okay, that's exciting.
She's used to it. She's like, she's
like a Navy SEAL.
I'm good. I don't need it anymore, guys. I take ice baths at night.
I'm going to go to IKEA, so big stuff.
What are you buying?
Just a bunch of, like, cheaper staples. You know, something like some more cutlery. Like,
oh, okay.
Honestly, nothing crazy.
Nothing
exciting.
You have to put together?
No, nothing I would put together. Just, like, items that IKEA has a cheaper, better version than other stores have. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to go see The Fall Guy with my two friends. And so that's the
Ryan
Gosling.
It seems so mainstream for you. No.
I like Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
I'm a sucker for Ryan Gosling. I'll see everything he's in, and he charms me. So Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, going to have a fun time with that. And then Sunday I have kickball again. So,
what position do you play on your kickball team?
I play third or outfield.
Okay.
So I have to be somewhere where I can throw pretty far. I also am cleanup on kicking.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
You come in and score all the runs.
She wasn't right, and then they needed her. She moved up to second.
She's like Mookie.
And then that's exactly what I'm describing. Then the second baseman had problems, so now she's at short.
I'm the person who goes, big kicker for me. So I get a lot of ego boost from that. But, you know, it's a pretty casual weekend for me.
Is your kickball league co-ed or all women?
It's a she-they league, yeah. So
okay.
It's all she-they. Yeah.
Okay. And, Jorge, you're watching the fights.
I'm watching the fight, and I'm officially off the IL. I'm making my return
on
Sunday.
Oh, you are? Wow.
Yeah. Game's at noon. Right here in that
downtown
somewhere.
I looked at the status report.
Yeah.
There were a couple players. Christian Wood was on there. Jorge was off. Jorge's available.
Have you done a jog? Have you tried to run yet?
I tried running yesterday, and it felt good.
Okay.
I stretched like 30 minutes before I went on the run, for sure. And
yeah.
It felt good. And Emily, if you buy something at IKEA in its building, just give me a six-pack of the Coors Banquet, and I'll go build it for
She's
you.
Got plenty of it.
Exactly. I have too much.
So, Jorge, when you're doing the IKEA, do you bring your tools, or do you just get the little Allen wrench that comes in the box?
Whatever comes with it, and we'll make it happen. Because if it's
that's so depressing. You open the box, it's got panels and the little nuts and all the things, like, and then the little Allen wrench that's 6 inches long.
No, I did buy one of those like things from Amazon where you have every single size of Allen wrench available.
No, that's a good thing.
So I have that now just in case, because again, you lose those little Allen wrenches so easily, and then you're like, oh, I have one that's too big, and so then I'm effed.
Or just buy the $10 kit at IKEA that helps you, has extra parts and stuff like that if you ever need it.
Not a bad call.
That's $10.
Yeah.
Not a bad call. All right, so none of us are going to the Dodger game, unfortunately, because it's a good game tonight. Dodgers and Braves, and it's a good series. If you look at the teams that these two guys have played, I don't know if this isn't the first series where both the Dodgers and the Braves are looking across the field into the other dugout and saying, they might be better than we are. That our best might not be good enough to beat them. And you don't get that very often. The Dodgers, when they're playing in their division, the Dodgers' best beats everybody else in that division. When they're playing the National League Central, their best beats everybody in the NL Central. Their best might not beat Philadelphia. Their best might not beat Atlanta. This is, I think, the first time we're going to see them go against a team that in October, the Dodgers could be at their absolute best and have it still not be good enough.
You're trying to find ways to make the season exciting.
Yeah.
You already know the team is going to, what was Oral said, or Hershiser said, something to the effect, you're going to lose 50 or 60 games, so keep that in mind. That also means you're going to win 100-plus games, and keep that in mind as well. But I think, look, some series are not created equal. If you're playing the Colorado Rockies, you're probably not paying much attention to it. But if you play the Atlanta Braves, like they're going to have tonight, if you're going to have a game coming up tomorrow where, by the way, you want to see...
Tomorrow night's game is the best game of the series.
You also want to see these Dodger players against some of the better pitching staffs in Major League Baseball. You also want to see Glasnow go up against some of the elite on the other side.
Bryce
we know
Elder.
How great that he's been.
Yeah.
So I think there's some excitement in that. And listen, I know it doesn't mean everything, but Dodgers are 20-13, playing good ball. won 8 of their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about their road trip that they were on, an incredibly successful road trip.
7-2,
right?
Yeah.
Atlanta's got a better record than them. Philly's got a better record than them. Milwaukee's got a better record than them. And Chicago's right behind them. I think it's also good for them to be in competition. You know, I think the last thing you want for the Dodgers is just to think that, oh, we're the best team and it's not even close. You also don't want to, you know what I'm saying, that you got a little bit of hungry. You can play in games even though it's early May and say, well, no, I just want to go up against this team because I think it's a good matchup.
Yeah, like the Brewers and the Cubs and one or two others. It's like,
probably
they'll
fall off. Yeah, they'll fall off.
And it's saying the Dodgers know if we play well, they can't beat us. That's the part about the Braves and the Phillies. And by the way, the Yankees probably fall into this category. I might be forgetting one or two others. But the Braves.
Baltimore, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. The Braves' best might beat the Dodgers. And by the way, the Braves are thinking the exact same thing. The Braves are thinking Max Fried could pitch his ass off. Ronald Acuna could have a series.
Sure.
Matt Olson could hit a bunch of home runs, and we could still lose.
Sure.
And that's what's interesting. And tomorrow night, it's Glasnow against Fried. Glasnow against Bryce Elder, I should say. Fried pitches on Sunday. Charlie Morton tonight. Mm-hmm. Let's see what it looks like when everybody's kind of paying attention to these things. And Ohtani in particular, because Ohtani...
You have some weird numbers there.
They're bizarre. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen this before. So check this. Shohei Ohtani with nobody in scoring position, which means either nobody on or a runner at first base, is batting a major league best .398. He is slugging a major league best .774. To give you an idea how much higher that is, there are only two other players in Major League Baseball that are within 100 points of that.
Wow.
Okay, so that's how much better he is than everyone else with a runner at first or nobody on. With runners in scoring position, he's batting .184. With runners in scoring position, he's slugging .237. That's like backup catcher stuff. That's nothing. So it's not like he's just slumping across the board. He's slumping specifically with runners in scoring position. And if it were an Ipe thing where he's, you know, then I think it would affect him everywhere. If it were my swing is broken, it would affect him everywhere. It's only affecting him in one particular area. It's kind of just be he's trying to do too much, right?
I was just going
to
say, is this the, you know, the saying of when you're trying too hard?
Yeah.
How much more difficult it is to do something?
Easier.
I'm sure for him, when nobody's on and he's just Shohei Ohtani, I'm trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if there's guys on second and third that he is trying a little bit too hard. And, you know, we've talked about this, that Shohei's probably also looking for some of those moments.
Sure.
Where you don't think tonight he wants to be in a situation where the Dodgers are down 4-2, 2-1 in the eighth inning. He's got a chance to have that moment at Dodger Stadium early on where they win the game 5-4.
Sure.
I'm sure there's a little bit of that he's pressing towards as well. And but that's such a drastic change. We're not even talking, you know, the slugging that you're saying. Like, we're not saying it went down to 400
or
something
like that. It went from 774 to .237. I mean,
that's insane.
That's
almost
crazy.
400, .398, and then with runners in scoring position. That's so drastic.
It's so it's kind of corny, I guess, but I think it's true. I forget. Maybe you don't. I forget that these are human beings. You know what I mean? Like in the most literal sense,
they have
feelings and emotions, and they experience feelings and emotions the way that we all do. Shohei Ohtani wants to prove he's worth that money. Shohei Ohtani wants to have the moments that you're talking about. He wants to prove, hey, I am the guy that you bought. I am the guy that's going to make a difference between this being a team that flames out to the team that gets over the top. I am the missing piece, and watch me clear the bases with this bases loaded double. Watch me hit a 3-run home run in the eighth inning. All these things. And he's trying a little more. He expands a little more. He's swinging a little harder. It's all these things. And he's just feeling it because his chase rate this year in these situations, kind of the same as before. His swing and miss rate is kind of the same as it was before. I think but once he gets a couple, I think it's, oh, that's it. Because when there's nobody on or just a guy on first, he's just up there, I'm going to get a good pitch and I'm going to smoke it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's too many thoughts going through his head other than that, as opposed to, all right, I'm going to show everybody. Today's the day. I'm going to show everybody. We know, dude. Just square one up.
I think the money part, And I don't know why, and I could be completely off on this one, but I think the money part, I don't know how much that comes into play because I think he's
already be zero, right?
But I only say it because I think he's already worth every penny just because of.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think. One of his, is it Nitto Tires? I think is one of. Okay, Nitto Tires has already given me all my money, but the Dodger fans haven't gotten. They don't care about Nitto Tire money.
They don't. But that's why I'm saying I think the money portion of it is not as big of a deal. I think it's just wanting to show everybody, here's my moment. Here's who I am.
Tonight's a good night to do it.
Tonight'd be a great night to do it.
All right, so why he looked over at us, because me and Jorge were going back and forth about something. So so we're having this debate. And again, maybe people on the internet, because I'm getting conflicting internet stories about this. So if you know this answer, tweet at us. But we were talking about Aldi and Trader Joe's and if they're owned by the same company. I saw several articles where it's at one point in time, maybe they were owned by the Albrecht family that owns Aldi, but then they were sold and they're cousin companies, not brother companies or sister companies. I'm confused. And Jorge is very much the same. He's like, they own them. They own them. They own them. And
I said, they might have been part of the same.
No,
they were part of the same company.
You said that they own them for sure.
I said, do your research. I'm like, in the 60s, they were part of each other at some point. And you're like, yeah, for 4 years.
Trader Joe's is started here.
Pasadena.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're in Southern California and Pasadena. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they can't buy other companies.
No.
Exactly.
It's
but
the Albrecht family.
Aldi's a European company, right?
Yes, so the Albrecht family owns Aldi. Aldi, like, at one point in time, it looks like, had owned part of Trader Joe's for about, like, a couple years in the 80s, early 80s.
That's
and
like, isn't that what I said?
But no, that's not, you said the 60s, that's 20 years earlier. And then...
Emily, can I ask a favor? Can you take off your headphones for a second?
Nope.
Jorge, you just did this to get that response,
yeah,
didn't you?
Exactly.
That was one of those.
Checkmate.
You were in there, you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see if I can get her riled up about Trader Joe's.
They have similar marketing tactics. They both own, have exclusively their own products and have niche grocery stores.
I've never been to an Aldi.
I
love Aldi.
Should. Yeah, I haven't been either.
There's one in Burbank. This is probably the closest one to you. It's right by IKEA. And it's actually really, really great.
Aaron Donald's coming back. I hope. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So I was looking at my prize picks last night, Slee. I was looking at my long-term play on prize picks. I got my three guys that I took the more than on their statistical projections, Otani, Judge, and Soto, and I'm on track. Now, it's got to be a season-long thing, but this is what prize picks is. You pick your guys, and then you pick more or less in the projections, and you can win up to 100 times your money, and I love it. They have the hitter number of the night. You get a point for a single, 2 points for a double. It is my favorite way to play prize picks right now. I'm all over the Major League Baseball.
All right, you do that. You enjoy baseball. I'm going to go NBA. A little bit later tonight, you got the Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks taking on each other. James Harden.
Under.
More or less than 20.5 points. I think if I had to put 5 points on there, you still would have gone less on that one.
I just like the under.
Luka.
By the way, if I would have taken the under on 5, it would have hit in the second half.
I know
last time.
You would have.
Baskets over 0.
Luka's a tougher one. Luka, that's
over.
33.
Ooh.
That's a high one.
More.
More or less?
More.
All right, he goes more. I actually go less on that one, but this is what makes these games fun, is you could take NBA games even if you don't have a stake in it, even if it's not your team. You could do it in Major League Baseball as well, and we all know this, that Prize Picks, that fantasy, America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million members. We're going to give you the code. Make sure you put this code in when you download the app today. Use that code 710 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code 710 on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm going to take a guess at something. So during the break, right before we went to break, let me back up a little bit. Emily and Jorge were arguing over whether or not Aldi and Trader Joe's are owned by the same people. Is that the crux of the argument?
Somehow, yeah.
Well, you said no, Aldi owns Trader Joe's.
They run Trader Joe's. They operate Trader Joe's.
Okay. So during the break, Emily says to me, hey, I got some information on this. Let me just take a stab in the dark that, Emily, you were right.
It will support her argument.
It's actually even muddier than I think it is. So this is from Robert Wilkins. He tweeted at us, and it looks like a screenshot from the Trader Joe's website.
Okay.
And it says, two frequently asked questions. So one is Trader Joe's a publicly traded? No, Trader Joe's is a privately held company. Next question, who owns Trader Joe's? Trader Joe's is owned by families that also own part of Aldi Nord. Trader Joe's and Aldi Nord operate independently. Trader Joe's has no business or ownership relationship with Aldi Sud, including Aldi US. So I don't understand what this means. So it means that they are like semi-related.
Yeah, they're like stepbrothers. They're not related by blood, but they have a relationship.
And maybe they learn things from each other.
I think that's a good way.
Is that about? Is about right? They're stepbrothers. They share some commonalities, but they don't share any DNA.
And let me just like clarify some things. So, Chris,
I'm very happy with that, by the way.
Did you touch my drum set?
Chrissy asks, what makes Aldi so great? And she has some misconceptions about Aldi. You don't have to pay, quote unquote, for your cart. You put a quarter in the cart to unlock it, you get a quarter back. It encourages people to put their carts back. And so there's one,
monsters,
less clutter in the parking lot, and two, less overhead of carts getting lost by Aldi Corporation, whatever. I am not paid by Aldi. I'm just clarifying some things. And why Aldi is so great, very, very cheap.
If you look on the next
produce
website, the final question is Aldi a subsidiary of Emily Hebel, Inc.?
Yeah. I was just raised in an Aldi household. So if you pass by an Aldi and you're curious, go. Don't be afraid of the quarter in the shopping cart. You'll get it back.
There's one on Valley right in the city of Walnut, if you guys want to go. Valley and Grand.
You might see Jorge there. Or at Trader Joe's.
Yeah. No, there's no Trader Joe's nearby, but the Aldi is.
All right. So Les Snead was on with Rich Eisen. And they're talking about what they're talking about. And the topic of Aaron Donald came up and whether or not he might be coming back. Aaron Donald, of course, retired a month or so ago-ish, 2 months ago.
Two months.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
Out of the blue. Out of the blue to us. Clearly the Rams had some heads up that this was coming because they said, yeah, he tipped us off at the end of the season. We wanted to give him a little time, et cetera, et cetera. He retired. He made it clear that I believe the phrase he used was his cup was full. And that he didn't want to do this anymore. Okay, cool. Here's what Les Snead said to Rich Eisen. I did mention to Aaron that going back to our Super Bowl run, there was a player by the name of Eric Weddle who kind of jumped into the playoffs and we signed him to the practice squad. And we elevated him for four straight to a Super Bowl championship. So I did mention if we happen to get to the playoffs again, maybe we'll circle back and see if the cup's not quite filled. But that's just rumor. I doubt Aaron's going to do that. He went on to say, Aaron's one of those guys where he's so principled, he might feel uncomfortable that, you know what, I didn't go through those other 18 weeks with the guys. I'm not sure I can go through the playoffs with them. Not sure. We might tempt him. No breaking news here. Okay. Maybe he's just wishful thinking, speculating. As a Rams fan, I really want Aaron Donald to change his mind and come back and play. I don't think he did that for no reason.
Yeah.
I don't think Aaron Donald's coming back, but I remember I asked DeMarco and he's like, no chance. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Aaron Donald's a football player. Aaron Donald's competitive. Aaron Donald stays in great shape. You're telling me there's no chance? I've always thought in the back of my mind there's this little crack in the door, and that little crack in the door just got a little wider because I don't think Les Snead just throws that out there for absolutely no reason.
If there's a window, it had to be this year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If he gets even further removed, if there's a a chance that he even gives it some thought, they got to be good, got to be competitive. They have to be he's got to think, hey, if I'm on that team, I can actually not just make a difference, but the squad is playing good even without
me. I could be the difference between us being good or Super Bowl good.
Exactly, 100%. I could be the difference. But, I kind of go back to this, and I find it a little odd. I got to be honest that especially, like, that's a lot of information there from Les Snead. If it was nothing, guys, listen, if there's something, maybe there's he would have to tell us. I mean, obviously, we're going to listen if he comes tell us, but I really don't think it's going to happen. It's a lot of information. Now let me throw in a player that came in.
Yeah, we've done it before.
And this could be him just indirectly sending a message to Aaron Donald of, I'm going to put this out there. Maybe it does something. Maybe it doesn't. But the part of no breaking news here, I'm like, no, it is kind of some news. You know, that if you say this about Aaron Donald, one of the greatest defensive players to ever play the game that did help your squad win a Super Bowl in recent history, and you start giving some examples here and all that. Like, I'm with you. I don't think so,
but I'm not zero.
That didn't make me think less.
No. Look, let's go back. Eric Weddle was an important part of the Rams winning the Super Bowl that year. They added him to the roster super late. He hadn't played in a long time, but he ended up not only playing, but playing a lot and playing really well, and he got a Super Bowl ring out of the whole thing. So good for – and I don't say this to disrespect Eric Weddle at all. Eric Weddle's not Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is still one of the best NFL football players walking this earth.
Sure.
And Aaron Donald doesn't get out of shape. Aaron Donald – it's not dissimilar to remember when after they won the Super Bowl and there was rumors that Sean McVay may leave to go do TV.
Yeah.
And those rumors were well founded, right? They were reported and everything else. I kept landing in the same spot. I'm sure it was tempting. I'm sure he considered it. I'm sure he looked at the money and thought, okay, at the end of the day,
there's no action in that.
Sean McVay's a football coach.
Sure.
Sean McVay loves the juice of coaching a football team. He loves the grind.
Yeah.
He loves the idea of, how am I going to beat Kyle Shanahan?
And
how am I going to
figure?
And he's a young guy. And, yeah, I can make a lot of money, but that's always going to be there. Sean McVay already makes
years.
A lot of money. It's going to be there in 20 years. I'm not going to cover the Raiders and the Broncos on Monday Night Football. Okay, fine. I don't get any juice out of that. It's just a job at that point. Aaron Donald's kind of the same, no? He's a football player. I'm sure Aaron Donald has varied interests. I'm sure there's a lot of things that he would like to accomplish in his life.
Nothing that he can't accomplish later, if that's what you're saying.
He's still a young guy.
Sure.
He's still an incredible player. And in his DNA, he's a football player. And he can still play football. And when you see guys going, and if the Rams are good, and it's like, hey, that defense is pretty good. But with me, man, we could get over the top. And I don't know if he waits till week 18 to come back. What if it's halfway through the season, it's like, man, I'm ready to go. My body's refreshed. My mind's refreshed. My spirit's refreshed. Let's go.
I respect.
Doesn't seem crazy.
Is he allowed to do that?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, he can.
He's under contract to the Rams.
I respect the – if he's done and he just knows he's done, I respect it. Right?
Sure.
If that's what he decided, I could have said the same thing. We'll just throw one name in there as an example. Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Right? Andrew Luck, which, to be honest with you, I don't even know what he's done after his football career. Maybe you do. I'm not sure what it is.
And I don't mean this like in disrespect. Not
yeah.
much. Like,
okay.
he first of all, he's almost completely off the grid.
Yep.
You never see or hear from him.
There are certain players where maybe, hypothetically, I know I'm done. Whatever it is. You could be at the top of your game. It doesn't matter what you are in your career. It's like, nah, I did that. I'm good. There's other things I have interest in. Maybe that's just Aaron Donald.
Could be.
Maybe nothing triggers him. Maybe him saying to himself, I got to go take this amount of hits and that and my health and all stuff. Maybe that's what ultimately when the dust settles.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Les Snead quotes make me think, oh, well, he's definitely not coming back. It actually kind of throws out additional ideas of how he can come back.
I'm looking over your shoulder, and there's a cardboard cut. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it, of Aaron Donald and LeBron James right next to each other. They're literally, the two cardboard cutouts are together. If LeBron James, fast forward, and I don't think this is going to happen, fast forward a month from now, he's like, guys, I've been thinking, I'm done. I would believe him.
Sure.
He's played 20-plus years. There's nothing left to give. I've done everything there is, and I'm good. I can go into the second act of my life and go do whatever's coming up. Aaron Donald is about 10 years or so younger than LeBron James.
Sure.
He's still one of the very best. The retirement was early, not late. Like, when you've gone past the point of LeBron, retirement's always in the mix. And if you're like, yeah, okay, I think he's probably gone. I don't know what it is. And then you throw this quote on top of it. It's like, okay, leave that porch light on because somebody might be coming home.
Fast forward. Let's go to, we're 12 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
There's some rumbling out there that he might want to come back. Surprise or no?
Pleasantly surprised. No way. He's not going to do it. He'd be like, all right, let's go.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
But and again, what he ends up doing, he ends up doing. But I would not be surprised.
If you said to me,
he left at the top of his game.
Does he play next year or not? I think my answer is no, he doesn't play. If you said, you want to bet a lot of money that he doesn't play? Absolutely not. I don't. No. I'll bet.
Always comes back to betting a lot of money.
Well, yeah. It's one of those that I'm not sure. Like, do I bet $100? Yeah, okay, fine. You want to bet your car? Hell no.
No.
It's not one of those things. And not when Les Snead says what he said. Hot and cold. Coming up next, Aldi, Trader Joe's, who owns who? I don't know. That's next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Oi. Who's hot is Indiana basketball. Okay, so it's a lovely time to be an Indianapolis sports fan in general, because the Colts are looking up. They got their quarterback, they got their coach. They almost made the playoffs last year, only looking up for the Colts. But Indiana basketball specifically, Indiana Pacers are moving on to the second round. They just defeated the Bucks. They have a good chance of beating the Knicks. They're a solid team. Who knows what's going to happen with the Knicks series, because they're the Knicks. They could,
right?
You know,
they. But you know what's funny?
Knicks will win.
I think so, too. The Knicks.
I think so, too.
I'm with you. The Knicks feel oddly stable. Like, of the other non-Celtics teams left in the East, the Knicks feel like the most stable of the bunch.
Grind it out and got a dude that can drop 40 on you. Exactly. You know, it's funny. You say they are the Knicks. They also look organized. They also look like it's
they're stable.
Everything you don't affiliate with the Knicks.
They've got a really good coach. Mm-hmm. They've got a star player who's showing up, and everyone else that's not Jalen Brunson fits in really well.
Like
everyone else knows their role in it. It's really interesting.
Do you remember when you and I disrespected Jalen Brunson after they had a game? Lakers played Mavs maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, and Luka didn't play that game. Luka was out, whatever he was out for. And Lakers got ran off the court, and Brunson dropped 30-plus, 40-plus, whatever. And you came in here, and I – we'll never forget Jalen freaking Brunson. Now I'm he's a pretty good player.
That's why the Mavericks, put him in a trade, because clearly they didn't think that he
they didn't know what they had either.
Exactly. Yeah, they didn't sign.
They didn't know what they had either.
They made a mistake there.
So
you're not you watched The Wire.
I did watch The Wire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson looks like Prop Joe, right?
Do I remember Prop Joe? Let me see here.
I have watched 2 episodes.
Yeah, I can't not see it. I think they have a similar hairstyle, and their faces are shaped the same. Are you seeing it, Jorge?
Yes, a lot.
Well, Prop Joe's 400 pounds. Yeah. I'm not saying that Brunson's that, but their faces look the same.
A little similar.
Similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
So not just the men's side of NBA basketball, but the Indiana Fever start their preseason tonight, and they have a couple preseason games, but the regular season starts in about 10 days. And so, you know, it's a great time to be an Indiana basketball fan on many levels, Indiana sports fan on many levels. Also, one more thing, too, about Indiana Fever. The WNBA still flies commercial, and there's videos coming out about Caitlin Clark walking through an airport and just people mobbing her.
Of course.
This one, give her space. Like, let's not make her look like she get mobbed at the airport. But two, eventually, when the WNBA makes more money, has more teams, expands, as hopefully that's what's going to happen. Hopefully, eventually, they'll be able to have chartered flights. But
think about this.
Well, she's one of the most popular people now in all of sports.
Oh, yeah. She's remarkably recognizable. Mm-hmm. But Michael tells stories all the time. When Michael was in the NBA, they flew commercial, too. In the end, can you imagine if you're on the flight from Portland to Seattle, right? You get on the airplane and you're sitting with Michael Thompson's two rows in front of you, and somebody else, the Maurice Lucas, is on your flight. You're like, what in the world is going on here?
LeBron's on the aisle seat. You're geez.
Well, there's a video out there from Team USA. They stop at a gas station and they eat Wendy's, but nobody recognized LeBron and whoever.
Dwight Howard, Jason Williams, I think. Yeah, I remember that.
That's in
Chris Paul.
Country, right? Yeah.
No, I think it was here. I think it was in the States.
All right, so what's cold is Pat Bev. And I think at this point in time, we've all interacted with the video that was out there yesterday. But this, I'm going to play it for you. So this is Pat Bev after the game yesterday, after they've been eliminated, just trying to, I don't even know what, to ESPN producer Melinda Adams. So this is their interaction.
Here.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah. Before I finish.
Yeah. You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not subscribe.
So you can't interview me then. No
okay,
disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe. Was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over? Kind of like you have in the past.
You'll move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Right. Totally no disrespect whatsoever to Melinda Adams, a person that is not new to this industry, has been in this industry for a long time, probably has interacted with Pat Beverly before.
Yeah.
But as came out from Foreign Office Sports just minutes ago, that he is no longer, he's quote-unquote banned from appearing on ESPN properties, at least for the time being, as of right now. But what was Pat Bev trying to do here?
So, okay, it clearly wasn't, but was he trying to be funny? Because, I mean, it obviously isn't
funny.
That
was my initial thought. I'm like, is he trying to joke? I was just assuming.
Right, I'm trying to pump the numbers up. Right.
No, but I thought he was going to, give some type of a, I'm just kidding around.
It clearly isn't funny, and it landed all wrong, and maybe he wasn't trying to do it, but if the most generous reading of this is he tried a joke, it was bad, he tried again, and it was worse. That's the best reading of this.
Yeah.
The more likely and obvious and, you know, reputational of this is that a guy that has a history of being a pain in the ass was a pain in the ass again. That's just, you know, this is a guy that's constantly in the middle of stuff, and he's in the middle of stuff again, and it's just dumb.
I don't understand any of it. Every time I watch it, nothing is becoming more and more clear. I will say this. Moments like that, that can ruin a lot for Pat Beverly. It can. His podcast that he's talking about, I'm sure there's more people that unsubscribed than subscribed. If his idea was, I'm trying to just get people to come to it. A moment like that, that could be a perception that's very difficult to get out of your mind.
Does anybody have a positive perception of Pat Beverly to begin with?
I think Pat Bev, I think there's a, he plays a, tries to play an entertainment factor. When he's playing in basketball games, he's trying to be entertaining. But you also got this guy looks like a complete idiot and a jackass, and ultimately that's probably exactly what he is.
And just, I mean, I was not aware of Melinda before. I had not worked with her, but, you know, obviously she's in the area around where we work at ESPN. But, like, from her Twitter presence, she seems like a completely lovely
human being.
She's
in there trying to do her job.
Exactly. And so it's just like, it's what statement are we trying to make here, Pat?
I think it's just.
I don't think anybody has it. I don't think anybody can explain
if
it.
If this were, I don't really want to pick like a star. If this were Austin Reeves, okay, a guy that's not a star, it's a guy that you know in the league that plays reasonably well.
Like, do you use Lemon Daddy? Put the mic away.
Right. It would be like, okay, that's just a terrible joke. Keep it moving. But he's earned. You earn the benefit of the doubt, and you earn not the benefit of the doubt. Mm. And he's the opposite. He has not earned the benefit of the doubt, so you just assume it's a guy that's constantly in conflict, being in conflict again.
And I think we've talked about this before. I think maybe like last week when we were in the golf tournament, I talked about the interaction my friend had with a hostess that was not very kind. And, you know, I was saying, like, okay, you don't do it to anybody, but you don't do it specifically in Los Angeles or to people that you – these people are connected. They have – connections that you don't even know where they go, but also
how about just
treat
be a nice
everybody
person.
With kindness. How about again, that? Yeah, don't be.
That would be ideal.
I just don't like how he pointed her out and not the rest of the group there. You know, why not ask the rest of the group?
Yeah, I mean,
apparently he's done this other times during the season, but that doesn't make it right.
It doesn't. And
can you get out of like the group because you're not subscribed?
Get
to
out
my
of the circle.
Pod.
Yeah, come on,
dude. You're gonna be. It's not gonna be too long before he's gonna be begging for people to ask him questions. That's the life of a role player
100%.
In the NBA. That's 100%. The way it goes. Who's hot? Who's cold? Is brought to you by NextGen, the official AC heat and plumbing company of SoCal sports fans. Call 833-3-NEXTGEN. That's 833-3-NEXGEN. Or visit NextGenAaronPlumbing.com. The Dump Super Crosstalk coming up next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
I like this one, Slee. This is kind of a trip.
Okay.
So the actor Jeff Goldblum is, quote.
He also singer, musician Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, musician Jeff Goldblum,
now, right?
too. That's right.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
saw
that's right.
Him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He is, quote, refusing to leave money for his kids. He's got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. And he said, hey, you know, you've got to row your own boat. It's an important thing to teach kids. I'm not going to do it for you, and you're not going to want me to do it for you. He said this on a podcast called Table for Two with Brent Bozy. You've got to figure out how to find out what's wanted and needed and where that intersects with your love and passion and what you can do. And even if it doesn't, you might have to do that anyway.
Bruce Bozy, by the way.
Bruce Bozy. Oh, sorry. I misread that. Bruce Bozy. I like that. Like Jeff, I don't know what Jeff Goldblum's net worth is. I would imagine it's
not nothing.
Tens of millions.
Sure, yeah.
That would be my guess.
Doing those ads too.
Yeah, no, he's been doing it for a long time. He's been a working celebrity actor for a long time. To say, hey, listen, I'm not going to leave you, just kick you out of the nest. Good luck, fine. But you also need to go find your own way. When you have, it'd be hard not to want to set your kids up with everything, make it easy as possible, but I think that's the right call.
Well, I think the setting them up and making it as easy as possible, I think there's a fine line there, right? I think if it's, you're set up, but there's work to be done, right? That there's, it's the, and I'm sure anybody that owns a family business, I'm sure the mother and father would love nothing more than their kids take over the family business. But it's not, you know, if it's, hey, you own the family business, all you got to do is just make sure the check comes in every 30 days. That's different, right? But is it the, do you feel the value of what it is? Do you know what your parents had to do to get to where you're at or
and
whatever
the next
case
step.
Is?
What if it's not a family business where you run like a restaurant or something like that? What if there's a $30 million pile sitting in the bank? Hmm. And I don't have to like do anything. Run a restaurant, not
it's
just
a tough one.
Yeah,
it's like one of those things where like everyone like needs to know the appreciation of working, and so like the thing of like everyone should work in the service industry at one point, be a server, work somewhere, because then you, one, you understand when you go to a restaurant what it means to be a server and what they are going through, but you understand what it means to work a minimum wage job no matter how much money you have.
I think Bill Gates is doing something like where he's not, you know, I don't know how much Bill Gates is worth, billions. Yeah.
300,000.
Is giving away most of those billions and leaving a very, very small percentage to his family.
Make there your was, own effing pile.
Yes.
There was a this story. I don't know if you saw this. It was actually kind of interesting because more recently, the owner of In-N-Out, Lindsay Snyder, is the president of In-N-Out. And
she's making the rounds lately, by the way.
She is. Yeah. I agree. She is. But there was a story that came out, which was interesting. You know, her grandparents started In-N-Out, and she was like the next in line, whatever you want to call it, and she took over the company years ago. But I guess she wanted to, even though she owned In-N-Out, she wanted to work for In-N-Out.
Applied for a job with everyone else.
Yeah, I saw that. Waited for 2 hours to get whatever. She wanted to, like, let me go through the process like everybody else. Not that she's had to do the same thing everybody else did, but it's always an interesting way to look at it.
Just like Roman Roy, where he went to the theme parks
he
and lasted
the
a week.
Management training at theme parks and tried to get through that. But yes, all of these can take tied back to Logan Roy.
Did anybody have, I know there are teams with worse records, but did anybody have a more disappointing season than the Milwaukee Bucks? Giannis didn't play in a playoff game for the second year in a row. They're out in the first round for the second year in a row. They fired their coach in the middle of the season and brought in Doc Rivers, who had another early exit. Damian Lillard's first season with the Bucks, by the way, they owe him a fortune going forward, was mediocre at best, and it wasn't at best very often. Does anybody have where they stand right now after what you thought it would be that ended up worse than Milwaukee?
I think they have an out. And I think it's because those two guys were injured in the playoffs. It was an awful season. You can't just awful season.
Across the board.
Awful season. You can't ask for a word. And then even out of nowhere, the Doc part of it and everything else, and they're out in the first round, and Doc is saying, we fought so hard, even though we didn't have our guys. I think they got a little lucky. Because, Trav, they didn't get fully exposed. Fully exposed is you're completely healthy. Doc is there. And you lose in the first or the second round. You don't even get to the Boston Celtics. Or you get to Boston and Boston just blows you out of the water. They have a little bit of an out where they can say, guys, we weren't healthy. Let's flip it. Try it one more time. I don't know if anything's going to change, but they have a little bit of an out.
It's crazy how fast it changes. Because when they beat the Suns in the finals a couple of years ago, it felt like,
Watch out,
that Giannis may rip off a few of these, right? That he may win 2 out of 4 or 3 out of 5 or 3 out of 6. It's like, They haven't sniffed it since then.
No, they haven't.
And a little bit of bad luck. Giannis has been hurt. But again, okay, every time you have a little bit of bad, okay, there's another year that goes by. You're a year older. And usually as you get older, you get more injury prone. And it's thankfully they got the one, but that's what makes LeBron and Steph and all these guys. They're so, Jokic is now entering this phase of his career. It's not just one, but LeBron's got 10 bites at it. Steph has had 6 bites at it. I mean, it's just crazy to put yourself in that position that many different times.
A little bit of the bad luck, too. You trade for Dame, and Holiday ends up on the Celtics.
I know.
You're like, what? What happened?
And Dame did not have a good season. He had not a good season at all. What do you do? If you're Giannis, let's do it again.
Do it again.
What if, okay. Say you get something similar.
Yeah.
Make it a little better. Out in the second round. Now what?
Well, it's on him. I mean, Giannis is the one that shook the tree of saying, we got to change this up.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. But, okay, it's on me. I don't care. I want out. Or do you say, I'm going to stay? Not everybody takes responsibility for their own problems.
I think they have accommodated to him. I think he'll stay. I think he'll stay. Just because they've done everything that he's asked them to do.
Sure, it's the right thing to do.
If he did it, now, if they weren't listening to him, and by the way, he's...
No, I get it, but you did everything you wanted, it didn't work out, I still now and go somewhere else. Thanks for trying,
well, that's
but
today's
I'm out
NBA.
Of here. That's what
so
I'm
I
saying.
I guess that wouldn't be a shock.
That feels more likely. Like staying because, hey, you did everything I asked, I'm going to give you a solid. That would be the one, really?
KD's been on how many teams? Bron's been on how many teams?
It's crazy. And that, it's, okay, same situation, Embiid. Embiid is out again in the first round.
I think Embiid more likely to leave than Giannis. At least Giannis can always say, I won a championship.
Yeah.
He's got one.
Embiid, though, Giannis did win it. Embiid's never been to the third round of the playoffs. No. He's hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. His conditioning, I think, is back as a question again. And part of it was injury related, to be sure. But
this year.
Yeah, this year. He got in great shape. He did the thing that those guys do, but it didn't, you know, a little bit unlucky with that triple bouncer off of the rim against Kawhi. But, you know, you're unlucky.
Jimmy Butler was on that team.
It wasn't the Eastern Conference Finals. I feel like it was the semifinals.
Right.
So, yeah.
I don't know who Toronto beat after. They beat Boston, I think.
Was it
Boston?
I don't know.
Just assuming it's Boston because they've been in the mix so many
They
years.
Have been in the mix a million times. Odell Beckham Jr. is a Miami Dolphin at this point. He's another one, right, that I think the best days for him are in the rearview mirror, not looking out. Because by the way, I think he's a really good example. You could throw Baker Mayfield into this category, too, of the Rams got the best out of a guy because Sean McVay's that good at his job. That when he was in Cleveland, that didn't work at all. That was just a hot mess. And he was kind of like, do you want Odell? And the Rams bring him in. He was on his way to becoming a Super Bowl MVP, potentially. He was killing it. And he gets hurt, unfortunately, misses a year, signs with Baltimore, doesn't really have much of an impact right there. Now he's on another team. The Rams gave him that last little shot of juice.
Still going. I give them – think about some of the injuries that he's had. Think about I don't know. There's certain paths that certain guys take, and still doing it, still making it happen, still a threat. I know he's not.
Is he?
I think to a much smaller extent. But I feel like everywhere he's gone, he's had some impact. Really good impact earlier in his career.
I swear I'm not. Can you remember a single play he made last year? Like even one? And by the way, Baltimore was awesome. They were a really good team. And I can't remember a single play that he made.
That might be more just me not paying attention to the Baltimore Ravens, but
I don't think it is. I mean, Tyreek Hill, you remember him making plays? Sure. You remember Brandon Ayuk making plays? Sure. Yeah. Odell? Nah, not really.
They have A-Chain, too, in the Miami Dolphins. Who's their running back?
Not Mostert. Is it Mostert?
I got to look this up.
Yeah,
now it's
I think
bug
it
me.
Might be Mostert. You know what we should do right now, Jorge? What? A little super crosstalk. Bonk. Mace is here. Ireland is here as well. Johnny, you can hear us loud and clear?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So it's official, guys.
It's official. Not exactly a dead cold shocker. We were ready for the thing.
No.
No reason to wait.
No. I mean, it felt like this was coming for a while, and certainly since the end of the season it was coming. So I guess it's now what, right? You've already seen the J.J. Redick rumors, the Ty Lue rumors.
Yeah.
Is there anybody at the top of the list?
I think the Redick thing is interesting. Because LeBron is doing that podcast with him, and it's a very wonky basketball podcast that you've got to be really hardcore to get. But JJ clearly knows his stuff and also aligns philosophically in terms of X's and O's on the floor with LeBron because they discuss it all the time.
And relationshipally, that's a word.
Yeah. But Mace,
is that a word?
I just made it
relationshipy.
One.
Yeah.
It's in the dictionary.
Relationshipally?
I've seen it.
Yes.
I've seen it.
Okay. Yeah.
But Mace, do we really know anything?
Yeah, like we know a lot.
Think about that.
I'm
going to
reveal a lot during today's show.
Think about that.
I will be using that breaking news sounder all the time. Every time I get a new piece of information from somebody inside the organization.
You said you think JJ Redick because he's doing this podcast with LeBron James, and I'm sure that they're two basketball minds. But we have no idea how JJ Redick would be as a coach. We have no idea. There's no history there. There's no literally. It would be the first time he's ever done. Not right or wrong, but you wouldn't be shocked if we're sitting here a year from now and the Lakers are out of the playoffs and JJ Redick was the head coach of the Lakers. Like we just have no idea what to expect. I don't have an emotion towards it because how can we if he's never been a coach?
Whoever they hire has got to last 2 years. You have to last at least two years.
They can get two. Two is okay.
Median, right? Squeeze 2 years out of somebody.
2 years seems to be the median. This is kind of the last archetype of coach that they haven't tried of late. They've tried the guy that's been around the league a while, whether that's D'Antoni or Vogel.
Yep.
They tried the up and coming hot assistant. Yep. Luke, who'd been around some very successful guys. Darvin, fresh off of a championship team. They tried the familiar face in Byron Scott. They've had all of these different but the recently retired player who's never done it before, they haven't kicked those tires yet. John.
And it might be the thing that makes the most sense. I used to always say, and Mason will back me up on this, that L.A. as a market is not a starter job. In other words, like, your first job can't be in L.A. But I've been proven wrong time and time again. Dave Roberts, first job, L.A. Sean McVay, first job, L.A. And Steve Kerr had no coaching experience. Yep. Jason Kidd had no coaching experience. And they
Pat Riley.
Right. So I'm now dropping my old mantra that this isn't a starter job. I'm kind of thinking, why not? You know, you guys said, you've tried everything else. Why not try that?
It's the one thing they haven't tried.
McVay didn't have expectations when he came, right? He's coming off of a Jeff Fisher year. They were bad.
Oof, they were really bad.
4-12, right, and they shouldn't have won 4.
My point is that he had never, ever been a head coach. Dave Roberts had never, ever been a manager.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer, you know, I used to say, go earn your stripes somewhere else so we're getting somebody with some type of level of experience. But particularly in the NBA, it just doesn't seem to matter. Steve Kerr had never been a head coach at any level.
He's in a front office.
Right, but it kind of a failed front office in Phoenix. And he got two offers that year. Phil Jackson offered him the Knicks job, and Joe Lacob offered him the Warriors job. And because his daughter was attending school in Northern California, he said, and he liked the roster a little better, he said, I'll go to the Warriors. And, of course, the rest is history. Jason Kidd's probably going to knock the Clippers out tonight. And the more I think about the Ty Lue thing, I just can't get my head to a place, and I'm curious what you guys think, where Steve Ballmer, with a year left on his deal, does anything to help the Lakers. I don't think Ty Lue's real. Do you guys?
With a year left on the deal, that's Steve Ballmer doesn't actually care, right? Year left on the deal.
If he can pay it or buy it out or whatever.
But if he's not able to extend him. My point is, if he fires Ty,
right,
he comes to the Lakers. Snap him right up.
For sure. But if he's got 1 year left on his deal, correct?
Yeah.
Right, so he's under contract.
Right, so he's under contract for one more year. But if Steve Ballmer goes to Ty Lue and says, look, we want to redo this. We want to extend you.
Right.
And he's like not interested. At that point, don't you have to move on anyway? Because the whole
lame duck coach.
Right.
Right. But if you do, since you have him under contract, then the Lakers would have to give up an asset to get him. If I'm Ballmer, I don't just let. I mean,
they need that for Trae Young.
They need it for Trae.
Well, they need to keep all their assets if they can. But so I don't think the Ty Lue thing is likely. Do any of you?
Maybe I'm just more hopeful than likely.
I frankly think they're going into the new building with Ty Lue as the head coach.
I do too.
Yeah.
What's the timeline on this? The draft is next month, so you got to have a coach before the draft, right?
No, you don't.
Nope.
You don't think so?
No, they hired Byron, I think, in August. The Rob Pelinka makes the draft picks.
And technically,
you don't want to consult with the head
LeBron
coach at all?
Doesn't have to make a decision until the 29th of June, right?
Right. And Trav, the reason they didn't hire Ty Lue the last time around is because they told Ty,
the assistants,
we're picking your assistants, and we're giving you a 3-year deal, not a 5-year deal like every other championship coach was getting. And Ty said, not interested. And so if they do that again, then they're probably going to have to get somebody with no experience.
Yeah, wait till Christmas.
This idea of we're going to give you 3, not 5. We're going to pick your assistants, not you. And all these edicts that were put, you know, this is how it's going to be, or if you want it. If not, then you can go somewhere else. Is that all still the same way? Because
let me do this in the interest of fairness.
Yeah,
that's how Frank Vogel was hired. You were picking your assistants, and you get a 3-year deal.
Okay. Right.
When Frank was fired, Darvin was allowed. Darvin got a 4-year deal, which was more standard than what was going around, and he was allowed to hire his own staff.
Okay.
So maybe they learned from that and said, okay, we've got to give the coach some leeway, but I don't know which way they'll go on this. I don't know if Rob and Kurt and all the people making these decisions will go back to what they did with Frank and say, we're picking the assistants, we're setting the terms of the deal, and we're going to give you a deal that's tied to LeBron. In other words, if LeBron has a 2-year extension coming
up, line it up with that.
Maybe the coach only gets 2 years.
That I was we'll just going to say, is this hire exclusively tied to however long you continue your relationship with LeBron James?
It has to be.
Or do you try to thread the needle and do the I want somebody that LeBron likes, but also the person that I can continue to have post LeBron because I can't turn this over every 24 months.
Well, wait a minute, Trav. They do turn it over every 24 months. They've been doing it for 10 years.
That's what I mean. Like, don't you want to stop that at some point?
I can tell you with Darvin, they wanted him to win. They wanted him to win his way into the job. And whoever they hire next, they're going to want him to win his way into the job. But I think what the Lakers have proven over the last 10 years is win or you're fired. Right?
Yes. No question.
Frank Vogel won.
Frank Vogel went
33-45.
We've gone back on the Frank Vogel thing
the
and
Russell
said
Westbrook
we don't really get it. Russell Westbrook thing tanked Frank Vogel, and he went down in flames.
Frank Vogel did not select.
Russell Westbrook.
Nobody's a bigger Frank Vogel fan than me. He's like my favorite guy. But if I would have told you, take Frank out of it. If I would have told you the Laker coach with LeBron and AD is going to win 33 of 82 games, regardless of his name, mm-hmm. does that guy survive?
If you saddled that guy with a third guy with LeBron and AD who was the absolute wrong person and he had nothing to do with the acquisition, yeah, I think he probably should survive.
And if you cleaned out the roster in order to acquire him and had to get all
–
I mean,
and you're stuck with him for a period of time.
Yes.
Like, there is no off-ramp at this, or at least not in the short term. You had to wait a whole nother calendar for it to go by.
That's just the problem, right? It's just it's almost like 2 years panic, 2 years panic, 2 years panic. Like, there is no
– Isn't it simple – isn't it
– But they simply, do that with a roster too, John.
Yeah, isn't it simply you've got whoever they hire. Let's say they hire John Smith. Doesn't John Smith, when he takes the job, know, I've got 2 years to get this moving in the right direction. If I don't, I've seen this movie and I know how it ends.
I believe that would be the assumption if you're taking
why,
this
job. Why would it not be?
Yeah, they've got a track record. Hey, can we do it? We're going to do a lot of this
I
today.
I got a quick question for John real quick. John,
we're going to do it all.
Yeah, we're
going to.
Yeah, yeah.
Every bullet we have right now.
You're shooting.
You mentioned that you're in Idaho for a good portion of the summer, right?
Right.
Do you go fishing when you're there?
No.
You don't.
God, I love fishing.
Do you, Mason?
I love fishing. I grew up fishing.
Mason
it was
and
my
Ireland.
Favorite thing. We fish for steelhead trout. We fish for perch. We fish.
Okay, when's the last time you fished?
Oh, it's been since we had a place. I had a place on Lake Erie for a few years, and we used to fish all the time.
Trying to
white
get
bass,
Slee to go fishing
walleye.
This weekend. He's up in Lake Arrowhead.
It is boring as hell.
Oh my God! It's so peaceful out there. And then you have that moment where it's like out of nowhere, bam!
If you went fishing and you didn't catch a thing, you still have a good day.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I love John what he's saying. Versus what you're
John,
saying.
You're a little too
literally
restless to enjoy fishing.
Polar opposites.
You could not
exactly.
Be more opposite.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would pay you to not go fishing.
So I've told this. We so
$40 this week.
Where I grew up was a big fishing town. Okay. They have a run of fish called the walleye. Have you ever heard of walleye?
I know. I've heard of it. I don't know what it is.
Okay. So what happens is all the walleye come in.
Is it an eating fish? Can you eat a walleye?
Yeah. Oh, they're fantastic.
Okay.
So all the walleye come in down the Maumee River, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's fishing in the Maumee River because they spawn. Then they go back out to the lake. So what we did was we tagged a walleye. And this was the $1 million walleye. And we released it into Lake Erie, and we had an insurance policy to cover anybody. If somebody would have caught this tagged walleye, they would have won $1 million.
What?
And the insurance company banked against
it. That's genius.
Did anyone ever find the fish?
Nobody ever found the fish.
It's in the belly of a larger fish.
How long did listeners have to catch the walleye, the tagged walleye?
Well, you had walleye season. So it was like April, March, April was walleye season.
More than a weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. More. You had a couple of months.
I've been fishing twice in my life, and I didn't enjoy it either time.
Really?
But I want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It
no.
Sit on the boat or on the dock with a beer.
I don't mind it. I just.
Do you ever do the fly fishing? The one river runs.
John,
through.
You should do that. You're up in fly fishing country.
Well, I'm not today. Today, I'm in the South Bay today because I'm going to Beach Life tonight. Have you guys ever been to Beach Life?
No, what's that?
No, big music fest, right?
Yeah, it's a giant music festival. It's been around for about 3-4 years. So tonight at I got to be there at 5, which is why I'm doing the show from home. But Seal opens for Sting tonight in Redondo Beach.
That's good.
You should,
man,
fish off the Redondo That's Beach pier
show.
While you listen to the music.
Good show.
I would rather literally play beach volleyball against professionals than go fishing.
Let me ask you one thing before you guys leave. So I was listening today about texting, and Jorge said something about Laura texting, being a bad texter.
Overly active, I
over,
think.
Yeah. Overly active.
Yeah, this just happened.
Throwing random stuff out there. Now, Laura, Jorge is gone, but how do you feel about the accusation that you're a total rando texter?
Totally didn't know he said that.
Yeah, no, it's a big
Jorge
thing
came
today.
After
yeah.
you.
By the way,
oh,
I don't
Jorge.
Agree
He's
with
in
that.
There.
Yeah, Jorge
He's
came after
also,
you.
He's also, oh, I can't do that. I actually like your mom. So,
wow.
You.
This runs deep.
Oh, I've known this fool for like 16 years, and I don't know how the hell
she
I'm
was
supposed
going.
To him.
She was heading for SOB territory and stopped herself.
I was like, let me stop. First of all, I think I'm a great person to be in a group text with.
I agree.
And, you know what I mean? Like, I'm
a big.
I'm, just saying.
I'm a big Laura Romo in the group text
I've never
fan.
Had any problem with her?
I've never.
A Jorge
had.
Thing.
Apparently, only Jorge.
Jorge's got a. Oh man, there's some beef here. Jorge and Laura.
The worst group texter on our show is Mason because he'll go in these periods of darkness.
Correct.
Where he'll just like turn off his phone for 12 hours.
That's healthy.
So here's
That's
the thing.
Good.
I don't text or use a computer after 8 p.m. This is the new law of my house.
That's not a bad rule.
Yeah.
But you're not. I will get a text from you occasionally.
Sometimes during the show.
Sometimes during the show. Occasionally not during the show. And I'm always like, oh, a Mason text. It feels like a little treat. You
see,
kind of disappear for
they're
a while.
Rare. That makes them special.
That's right. Yeah. Scarcity is what matters the most.
Yes, it is.
Super Crosstalks brought to you by In-N-Out. In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger is all about.